This evening I have a strange message. Strangest message I've ever preached. Does that encourage you? Well, it scares me, okay? If my wife was here and I would say that, then she would be thinking immediately it scares her too. Probably scares her more than it would scare me. Romans chapter 12. Now, when I say Romans chapter 12, you immediately think that I'm going to verses 1 and 2, but I'm not. That wouldn't be a strange passage. That wouldn't be a strange message. I'm going to be looking in Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians 12, and Ephesians chapter 4. Spending a little bit of time reading the very beginning here this evening. But before we read, would you bow your head with me as we ask for God's special anointing and touch at this part of the service. Our Father, you've pressed a message on my heart this evening for this service this evening. And while it's different, I pray, Lord, that you would help us to hear your voice in this message. And while we don't expect anybody to need it immediately, I pray, Lord, that as the days unfold and the possibilities would be there that we would need it, that you would refresh our mind. Speak to us, I pray, tonight through your word and through your unworthy servant, giving strength and help as needed tonight, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. These three passages that I've mentioned, Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12 and Ephesians chapter 4, are all basically the same in that they are talking about the gifts, the diversities of the gifts from the Holy Spirit. Never gone down the row and in and out of every pew here to ask what your gifts are or what your gift is. I'm going to guess that there's some people here tonight that would suggest that they haven't been given any gifts, but that's not the case. God gives gifts to everyone, or a gift to everyone. None of them would be exactly the same. There are things that God wants you to do that somebody else isn't going to do, somebody else can't do. God wants you to do a certain thing, a certain part in the kingdom of God and the ministry. But it's different from somebody else's. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse number 4. If you have your Bible and want to follow along, I welcome you to do so, encourage you to do so. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. You see, there's a whole list of things there, you can see that, you can hear that. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and again, verse number 4 beginning. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers of kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. Are you hearing the similarities between these two passages? Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I don't see anywhere in any of these three passages, in the midst of all of these numerous differing gifts of the Spirit, do I see that there's a something here for a person to be lifted up. But the key, perhaps, is the very last phrase of what I've read, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The work of the ministry comes just prior to that statement. Let everything that we do be done to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. That's the end result. The gifts. Now, what gift do you have? There's gifts of speaking. You say, well, I didn't get it. Well, let me just take a little bit of a side run down into the rabbit's brush and maybe suggest that perhaps the reason why you didn't get a gift of speaking is because you didn't work on it. You didn't develop it. God tried to give it to you, but you didn't develop it. And that's a side note. That doesn't cost. The gifts of speaking, there's prophecy, receiving and conveying messages from God. We don't really speak too much about it, but there's in speaking, the speaking in tongues, the gifts of languages, the gifts of interpretations of languages. You know, there's a gift of teaching. A teacher has to speak, don't they? There's a gift of speaking in being a teacher, or the gift of exhortation. I've been around churches where there's been some people that have been in those churches that had a gift of exhortation. They could stand up in a few minutes, throw out a nugget in exhortation that you could almost say would be worth the whole service in a message. Exhortation. It doesn't have to be long, but an encouraging and an uplifting nugget of truth or an enriching thing that is spoken to encourage somebody else in their faith. There's the gift of speaking would be also in the area of evangelism. Oh, that God would call more evangelists. No, I'm not talking. I like the idea of calling more evangelists to go around to various churches. Yeah, it'd be nice to have more evangelists. That's a dying number. The economy isn't allowing for that. But evangelism is more than somebody traveling around all over the country to every church or hitting all these churches 50 weeks out of a year. Evangelism can simply be somebody who goes to somebody else and evangelizes them, tells them their story of salvation through grace. Evangelism. Do you have the gift of evangelism? Does God want you to have the gift of evangelism? You say, well, my tongue's tied. I understand that. And it's very possible, if that's truly the case, that God hasn't given you the gift of evangelism, but He's given you another gift. He's given you another avenue through which you can work. Sometimes it's the gift of service. You know, there's some real good service people, people that are servants, that they just want to serve people. They just want to be in the shadows. They're happy in the shadows being that point to help other people and to push up other people. Maybe it's those two people that held up Moses' arms out there at the day of the battle. That's all they did was serve to help Moses. Oh, there were some other things that they were involved, but that day, their gift was serving. Gifts of service would be, could be leadership, guiding and directing others in spiritual matters. There's a leadership that is necessary. Gift of service. A gift of service in the area of helps, just being a practical assistant and in supporting somebody. That could be changing somebody's flat tire when you're too busy to stop. But simply stopping to change somebody's flat tire, serving somebody. Maybe a gift of service would be the area of mercy, showing compassion or empathy to somebody that's in need. Mercy's one of the gifts that I read, mercy, being merciful. Oh, that God would help us all to have a measure of mercy at least. But there's a gift of service in mercy. Gift of service in giving. Generously sharing resources, generously sharing with others, generously sharing when the offering plate is passed or the kid walks by to go to the offering plate. Some of you know the name Floyd Coates. Some of you don't have any clue who Floyd Coates is or was. He was a unique individual. He wrote a book. If you'd like to read his book, I think Brian has some stashed away up there at Old Paths. Do you want to know what the title of his book is? It's a strange title. Our toilets are not for customers. That ought to intrigue you, is to find out what's in the book. Floyd Coates was an odd sort of fella. He was a different sort of guy. He'd sit on the front seat right over here at his church and lean up against the side and put his arm up on the back of the pew and one leg up onto the pew, and he'd sit there and read a book while the preacher's preaching and then even debate the preacher at the end. I don't know if he wasn't getting anything out of the book, that was just a sideline to distract, or if he was really getting from the book and the preaching. He was quite the fella. He told the story a number of times that when he was just a young fella, and God was beginning to lead him and direct him into some business areas, he said, "Lord, if you make this successful, I will give double tithes." And I think the Lord said, "No, you give me double tithes before I make it successful." Now, maybe God doesn't call you to do it that way. Remember the difference of gifts? Floyd Coates felt like God was telling him that he needed to live in such a way that he tithed double from the very beginning. What I'm talking about is gifts of service, giving. There's also a gift of service in administration, organizing and managing tasks. Number of good opportunities in being an organizer. How about a gift of service in the area of faith, a strong belief and a trust in God's promises? Do you have a gift of faith? You have the gift of faith. How about a gift of healing? I've asked God to somehow give somebody the gift of healing. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know what that exactly means. But Lord, give us a gift of healing somewhere in our midst. It seems to me that if somebody were to have the gift of healing, that could very well be a detriment to that individual spiritually, because that would make a person easily lift themselves up. I'm just talking here tonight. Well, I told you it was a strange sermon. But Lord, give somebody the gift of healing. Why? We have healing here or a healing there and a healing over here. But he's talking about a gift of healing. That's a sideline too. There's other gifts that he talks about in these passages. One of them is a gift of wisdom. Do you have the gift of wisdom? Scripture tells us that if we lack wisdom, let them ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And there is a real need of wisdom in our lives. All of us need a measure of wisdom. There's a gift of knowledge, comprehending spiritual truths and insights. There's the gift of discernment. That's a good one as well. Discerning, distinguishing between true and false teachings or between true and false spirits. So you see all these gifts, all these possibilities that are there, and the scripture writers have told us that they're diverse and they're given to different people in different ways, and it's all made up in the same body of Christ. Now let me give you some hypotheticals. This is the strange part. You ready? The what ifs. Don't you like hypotheticals? What if? What if? Well, let me give you some what-ifs. I want you to hear me. Listen to me. What if the one who has the gift of evangelism would begin to question the spiritual validity of someone who doesn't evangelize like they evangelize? Did you hear that? Let me move on to the next one. What if the one who has the gift of teaching begins to question the spiritual validity of someone who doesn't teach like they do? What if the one who has the gift of giving begins to question the spiritual validity of someone who doesn't give like they do? What if the one who has the gift of faith begins to question the spiritual validity of someone who doesn't have faith like they do? What if the one who has the gift of leadership begins to question the spiritual validity of someone who doesn't lead like they do? What if the one who has the gift of discernment begins to question the spiritual validity of someone who doesn't discern like they do? Are you hearing these hypotheticals? You heard me. You probably heard me pray in the prayer at the beginning of the sermon tonight and saying that we might not need it. I don't believe we would need it tonight, but we might need it down the road somewhere because... Well, I'm going to get ahead of myself if I answer that because. I have a couple more or three more hypotheticals to give you before I get to the because. What if the one who is a prayer warrior begins to question the spiritual validity of someone who doesn't pray like they do? What if the one who fasts, begins to question the spiritual validity of someone who doesn't fast like they do? Now for the final hypothetical, let me just leave it. It's an open end. What if the one who has whatever it is that you are or do begin to question the spiritual validity of someone who doesn't do the way you do? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. No, but they don't do it the way I do it. You walk worthy of the vocation that you are called to. But then he goes on in the next verse, verse number 2, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. Perhaps Satan's primary tactic. Now I have this written here. Perhaps Satan's primary tactic, and I'm told by my iPad, whatever it is that governs what I'm writing, says that I should not use the word perhaps, because it is giving, it's not expressing conviction. Well, I need to leave it open-ended, because I don't want to profess to know exactly what Satan's primary tactics are. But I want to lay it out there that it is a very good possibility that Satan's primary tactic of division involves discord among people within the church to weaken their unity. And in weakening their unity, he is weakening their effectiveness. Now, the strategy is not trying to get at you personally, but this strategy aims to disrupt God's work, and it aims to distract from his purpose by fostering a conflict. Go back to conflict. Go back in your mind to those hypotheticals. God's given me a gift. God's given you a gift. And this person over here, you get to looking at them and they don't have that gift. Or if they have that gift, it's not as good as your gift. You do it better than they do, and they really need to step up. Whatever it is, that last one was open-ended so that it would fit you. It would fit me. It's personal. If Satan, in his tactic of division, can sow seeds of division, that if he can undermine the church's mission, and he can undermine the witness of the church, seeds of division can begin by Satan himself planting seeds of pride and jealousy and resentment, all of which are human tendencies if we're living in the flesh. If we're living in our weakness of the flesh. Now, there's a remedy for that, and you have to maintain that remedy. We can't stray away and think that I've arrived now, so I can do this on my own. Well, if we get to that point where we can do it on our own, then there's a greater possibility that those seeds of pride and jealousy and resentment are going to begin to foster or to grow. And if those seeds of pride, jealousy, and resentment are able to grow, then that causes a rift and a faction within the group. Let me conclude by looking at John chapter 13, where Jesus is challenging, telling his disciples about that 13th, or excuse me, that 11th commandment. What is that extra commandment that Jesus gave? A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The Amplified, let me read to you what the Amplified says in that last section, that last part of verse 35. If you love one another, or if you keep on showing love among yourselves. That ongoing, not just a once upon a time happening, something that took place, but an ongoing love for one another. And when that ongoing love for one another continues, then it gives the enemy no ground, no foothold to get in to plant those seeds of division, causing a disruption within the body of Christ. What's your gift? Use it with all of your might for the glory of God. And don't look at another person that is around to say, well, they're not doing it the way I do it, or they're not as good as what I'm doing. You just keep doing the way God wants you to do. With all of your might, with all of your strength, with every effort that you can muster to put into it. To live in that way of pleasing Him with the gift that He has given you. God hasn't given me a gift. Well, you better go back and look at it again. He has given you a gift somewhere. Use it for His glory. Would you stand with me tonight? Praise God. I want to hear His voice. I want to keep in that place where He can speak to me. And that I use my gifts for His glory. Whatever it is, for His glory, for His honor. Praise God. Byron, would you dismiss us in prayer tonight?